Well, if you've got a copy of God's Word with you and want to follow the Bible readings, then I'm going to encourage you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, and just the first verse there, and then 1 Kings in chapter 18 and verse 1. And then we will read from verse 41 as well of chapter 18. Well, you don't need to remember all of that. I'll tell you as we go along. Just a little introduction. We are not per se in these Sunday mornings doing a character study of Elijah. That said, we are looking at some of the highlights of Elijah's life, and those highlights were definitely highlights. Last time we were here, we were looking at what it means to take someone else's burden. Do you remember that message? The cameramen were complaining that I was lying on the ground, and then I was doing all sorts of dangerous things, and I didn't apologize to them, but then I was apologizing to Drew for moving about so much because he was on the camera, and so they reminded me I need to apologize to them as well. So any antics I get up to date to the boys, I apologize in advance. But I'm sure, like me, you would love to be effective in prayer, if I may say that. Maybe you question, you wonder, where has effective praying gone? Maybe that's a better way of saying it. Or maybe you would say it like this: I wish my prayer life was more effective, to make it more personal. I've been praying, you've been praying, we've been praying for things which haven't seemed to happen for us. We as a church seem to make little difference to the community around us. And if you are God's child, you cannot be happy with that. How could you be happy with that? Not seeing God move in a community that's lost and going to hell as fast as time can bring it. And so I'm sure there are those who would love their prayer life to be much more effective. I believe we're going to unlock the key of one of the aspects that will make our prayer life more effective. Let's read together from 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. And just that first verse, and over to chapter 18, and then I'll tell you the verses as we go along. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Then over to chapter 18 and verse 1. And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And then verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins, ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I want to talk to you today about effective praying or effective prayer. And in specific, or specifically, a concept of prayer that we have never perhaps explored before. As I've said, I'm sure like myself, prayer and those that seem to be effective in prayer have often amazed us. We think of some of the great giants of prayer in the past, and we'll mention them and we'll talk about them and we'll aspire to them, but never think that we could be one of those people. And sometimes we arrive at the conclusion that the reason for their effective praying is because of holiness of life. And we put it down to that and that alone. And that it is the holiness of life that affects, that enhances, that enables the petitioner to get God to do something for them here on earth. To some extent, this is right. And to some extent, it's wrong. Now, don't get alarmed. I'm going to explain to you what I mean by that. But let me put it like this. I would find it difficult that I could, or any person could, get into a place in their relationship with God that they could tell God to do things here on earth that he never planned on doing. I would find that a great difficulty. That I could order God about. That would be to make me greater than God almost. It would certainly make God my servant. And I could get God just to do whatever I liked because I had arrived or achieved some standing or status in my personal walk. Now, we are going to see that personal holiness is important. But it's a life that's lived in service to God. It's a life that's lived in such close quarters and connection with God that life that is lived so close with God knows the will of God. And as that individual who walks close with God, walks close with him, knows his will, is able to pray in the will of God, if you get what I mean. Jesus said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Here's what it says in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24. And you know this verse and have quoted it on many occasions. "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will hear," or "I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." The answer, listen to it, comes before the call. God had already decreed before it became effected. And so therefore I will say this, that we can so walk with God. The secrets of the Lord is with them that fear him. And so I will say to you, if the answer can come before the call, it was decreed before we ever asked. God already had his plans and his will for us. And it is like prayer reaches into heaven and rushes and ushers in what God has willed to happen. That would seem to me then to be what happened in the life of Elijah. We will look at those few verses in James in chapter 5 and verses 16 and following. And you already have it on the tips of your tongue, don't you? the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. May God grant, and this has been my prayer this morning, may God grant to us the ability to grasp what God is saying as in the matter of prayer here this morning. Because I believe that it will utterly transform and change our lives in the aspect of prayer. Now, I'm going to interrupt myself if you don't mind. Is that all right? Lily, you're welcome back, dear. I didn't see you on to now. Let's notice the first thing then. Prayer and the promises of God. I read to you from 1 Kings chapter 17 and 1 Kings chapter 18. Notice what it said here. It says here, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself unto Ahab and say, I will send rain upon the earth. And one Kings chapter 17. It says, in chapter 17, verse 1, it says, and as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be rain nor dew these years, but according to my word. And as we've read in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1, he says, now there will be rain at my word. So we see through these two verses a closed heaven, and then we see an open heaven. Both statements made by the same man called Elijah. Now, this was not something random that Elijah made up to kind of force Ahab into changing his mind about the direction of Israel. It wasn't something random to try to shake him, to shake himself up. This was something that God had said would already happen. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verses 13. And verse 13 to 17. He wasn't making it up, in other words. This was something God said would already happen when the nation went into sin. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 to 17. And here's what it says. And it shall come to pass that if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commands, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain in your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shall shut up heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord God giveth you. So you can hear Elijah praying. He's praying because he knew of what God's word said in Deuteronomy chapter 11. God said that if Israel turns to sin, it'll not rain. And he says if Israel turns away from sin, it will rain. And so in 1 Kings chapter 17, as Elijah, who knew that Ahab had led the children of Israel into sin with Jezebel and all that brought upon them, he knew that that would cause God to turn his back, and so he prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain. And then after 3.5 years, he knew that if they embraced, if they tackled, if they took control of the situation and sought to deal with the sin that was in the camp, he knew that Elijah knew that if they dealt with it, if they tackled the sin, that God would once again open up the windows of heaven. And so, let me say this to you, that Elijah knew the word of God as he prayed. My dear friend, it's only knowing the word of God and knowing how God is offended at sin and knowing how it grieves his heart. And it's only knowing the condemnation of God in sin can we really pray intelligently as we face the struggles that our land and our world is in. In fact, I'm going to say something further. You can only really pray effectively if you know the Word of God. You can only really pray effectively if you know the Word of God. And he knew that there was condemnation coming because Ahab had led the nation into sin, and so therefore he was able to pray. God has declared in Deuteronomy chapter 11 that because the nation has gone into sin, there will be no rain. God had already decreed it. And so Elijah, he just happened to repeat it. You know what's our problem? Our problem is that we're not as sensitive to sin as God is. And it's only the Word of God will show us how grievous sin is in the eyes of God. Now we'll get to that wee verse that you all know so well. James 5. 16 and 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Elijah knew God's word, and he knew his mind in the situation. But isn't it interesting that between Genesis or 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1 and 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1, there's a space of 3.5 years. Isn't that interesting? That's how stubborn the people were. They were not willing to acknowledge their sin. They were not willing to own up to the fact that it was me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Against thee only have we sinned and done this evil in thy sight that there must be. And on it goes. It is my sin. And it's the sin of the nation and the sin of the church that has blocked the blessing of God. And if we look across our political scene, as we look across our financial scene, our economical scene, as we look across the social scene, the moral scene, it is sin. Sin. That has stopped the blessing of God. We point the finger at the world and we say the world has led the church a merry dance and brought us to a place of great grievance and sinfulness against God. But I want to say to you that it's the church that has led the world. We're not as sensitive because we don't know God's word. We're not conscious of how sensitive God is to sin. It was only when they addressed their idolatry that God started to do something about it. Now let me bring this to where the rubber meets the road. There are many of us who want God's blessing in our life, but we're not willing to address the sin that's in our lives. There are many of us who want God to work on our behalf and to work in our families, when all the time we're not willing to deal with the elephant in the room of our heart. Folks, can I make an impassioned plea to you? We have to change. We have to change. We have to change our concept of who God is. We have to change our concept of who we are. Are you listening? Listen to this. If you want to know the blessing of God, we have to change. You have to change your view of God.
We have to change our view of God's word. We have to change our attitude to when God speaks. Because when God speaks, it's not a matter of fact, well, maybe I'd like to see them doing it, but I'm not really worried if they do or don't. Whenever God speaks, he wants us to acknowledge. He wants us to address it. He wants us to embrace the concept of straightening out those things in our lives that are preventing him from working. Change your attitude to what God says. We have got to change our concept of the church. We've got to change our concept of our purposes. We've got to change our concept of our power. We've got to change the concept of the plans that God has for the church. And I know, listen, I know when I'm not getting at anyone here when I say this. And some of you will have said this morning when you come in, ach, our wee church is looking lovely. And then there might have been some of you come in this morning and say, ach, look what they've done to our wee church. Let me tell you, the church is not the building. The church is believers. Everyone is a lively stone being built up by the master workman himself, that is the Lord Jesus. And it wouldn't matter if we met out in the middle of the green in Rathcoole. That's the church. And it's time we saw God's purposes and God's plan and God's power through the church. Because if I were to take time to explain to you that God had given Adam and Eve dominion over all the world, and that whatever was going to happen in the world was going to happen through Adam and Eve, and he gave them dominion, but they relinquished their authority, and the devil, they handed over authority to the enemy. God has created the church through which he will breathe, through which he will work through us, through which he will be able to touch other lives, so that we might be able to show the love of Christ to others. Notice something else here, and I'm not going to take too much time in that. Notice in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 and 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1, it was what God had said. And whenever you get to James in chapter 5, it was what Elijah had said. Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain and it would, and it didn't rain. And Elijah prayed that it would rain and it did rain. Well, who was it? Was it God said it, or was it Elijah said it? Here's the thing. If God had already said it, how come he needed to pray about it? I want to say this to you. When we seek God, when we set our mind on a situation, when we see and ask ourselves why the blockage, when we confront the issue, when we address the sin, the thing that God wants to do begins to be the reality. Now, let me tell you the one prayer that I most often pray. And you'll hear me quote this verse often in prayer, and you'll have quoted it too. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I'm going to ask you for a show of hands. Hands up, those of you who believe that. Well, why does it not happen? Have I set my heart enough in prayer? Now, listen, get a grip of this. It's not to say that your prayers and mine are responsible for the whole of the nation. But there are those people connected to us that are familiar to us. As I set my heart, as I set my mind, as I set my affections on this one thing I do, I'm going to pray. What I tell you, whenever I pray for an individual,
Whenever we pray to the level in which we're talking about here with Elijah, it's more than just sitting in a prayer meeting praying. And it is more than just praying in your quiet time for an individual. Actually, God begins to encourage us to put feet to our prayers, to see effected in that person's heart what God plans to do. Listen, I believe with all of my heart the word of God to be true. And he says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, Lord, will you give me such an appetite? Will you give me such a desire? Will you give me such motivation of heart and spirit that I'm not afraid of the Ahabs in this world, and I'm not afraid of the Jezebels in this world, and I'm not afraid to go up to Mount Carmel and take on all the hordes of hell that I might see that loved one delivered for the glory of God? Here's what it says in the Revelation. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door that no man can shut. Oh, we have a wonderful Savior at the right hand who's a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So that's prayer and the promises of God. Notice very quickly, Chapter 18, verse 41 of 1 Kings. Notice prayer and the man of God. You see, not only do you need to know the word of God, you need to really know God. You see, Elijah, notice verse 43 of this passage. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 43. Just to save a bit of time, let's go to this one, verse 43. And Elijah fell down on his face between his knees, verse 43, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked. And what was the news that he brought back to Elijah? I see nothing. I want you to notice. Elijah was seeing things that hadn't yet happened because he knew the mind and the will of God. And so he tells him, and you'll notice this again, Elijah uses the number 7 here. He says, and he sends him 7 times. Can I say to you this, that there could be those who walked into this church today and you're absolutely sure that at some stage in your experience, you're going to see God work in mighty ways. Isn't that right? Because God has given you the assurance. There's a promise that has been born in your heart. There's a motivation of spirit. There's something, a word has come to you. God has confirmed it to you, and it's as if it has already happened. Oh, I tell you, that was our experience, in particularly whenever we worked in the faith mission. Whenever God would give you a word. I can remember we're having a mission over there, not too far from Donaghcloney. I know there's someone here from Donaghcloney this morning. And it was over in Macher Alley, Orange Hall. And we were having a mission. And one morning as we were praying, God gave us a word. Yet will I gather others to him besides those that have already been gathered to him. I must say, it was one of the most potent and important experiences that I ever had. That God had put on our hearts that he was going to yet add to others those who would be saved. And it was as if it had already happened. And I'm telling you now, this wasn't whenever there was crowds coming to the little Orange Hall. This wasn't whenever they were queuing up at the door to get in. In fact, I was putting up my little sign. Esther and I were putting up our little signs outside the Orange Hall. And as quick as we put them up, the people came at night and took them away. But you know what? You see, whenever God started moving in that community, I was preaching in Banbridge on a Monday night there a few months ago. And there were several people that were saved at that mission. as a result of God giving us a promise that he was going to add to others, yet those who have already been added unto him. Do you see what I'm getting at? And it all depends on how close the proximity to which you're living with God. How close? Listen, are you living close? Am I living close enough? Am I in my pastorate of Abbot's Cross, am I living close enough that I don't only see God working at a distance, but I hear what God is saying to my heart? There was no one else saw the cloud except Elijah. And he sends him, he says, go and look again, nothing there. Look again, nothing there. Look again, nothing there. How many times have I to tell you nothing's happening? You know seven's the perfect number, don't you? God will always work in his time, at the right time. There was a wee saying in the Bible College in Faith Mission where we studied for 2 years, and it said this: don't only get to know the Word of God, get to know the God of the Word. It could well be that God's speaking to your heart, and yet you see him at a distance, but you don't know exactly what he's saying to your own heart. Notice the place that Elijah went to. After his encounter with Ahab and the sea of cloud the size of a man's hand, you know what Ahab did? He went away off to the palace and feasted and did whatever. Do you see what Elijah did? He went to a place alone. Have you and I got a place alone where on a daily basis we plead for our families? I don't say this boastfully, brothers and sisters. I don't say this boastfully now. I would miss it if I didn't get my wee time with the Lord every morning. I would miss it. I would miss reading his word. I would miss just getting down before him and letting him speak to me as much as me speak to him. I trust we've all got a little place like that. Have you got a place that you're willing to deny the pleasures of self and selfishness, when all the time you want to do something, God's calling you to something higher? And there's something, I'm not going to go into as much detail here, but notice the posture he assumed. Now, I don't pray, I couldn't pray like this at the moment with this disc problem I have. And I'm trying to restrain myself, and I'm hurting myself every time I move here. But I get excited with the word of God, and you have to let me move, folks. Don't be telling me don't be moving like that anymore. If you tell me not to move, I couldn't preach. But I don't know if any of us could physically get down. I'm not going to do it now, all right? And put our head between our knees and plead. The commentators say, Elijah assumed the position of a mother in Israel about to bring birth.
Now, I don't understand the full import of that. But all I can say is that he had got such a burden, such a passion, such an assurance that God had spoken to his heart, that it was like a burden that he brought to the Lord. And that almost, though it was decreed of God, and though it was God had said it, he labored in prayer. And though God had given him the burden, he brought the burden back to the Lord. That begs me a question then. What is my quiet time like? Let us run on here. Let us very quickly come to an end on our third point. Prayer and the power of God. Verse 43 to verse 44, see what it says. 1 Kings chapter 18. Go now, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain does not stop you. We'll read verse 45. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens was black with clouds and wind, and there was rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab, and he beat him the race to Jezreel. Now, this wasn't one or two horses. This was a team of horses, and I understand that it was 18 miles in the distance. I couldn't run 18 yards. And in that 18 miles, Elijah outrun Ahab's horses. You know what I take from that? There may be those that are weary. You've been here since this church's inception. You've been waiting to see the hand of God at work in your family, in your community, in your land. Well, you know what the Word of God says? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. You know that word renew, by the way? You've heard me say it before. They shall exchange their strength. In other words, I come weak and weary, and I say, Lord, here's my energy. Here, I'm about to throw in the towel here. And as we are honest with him, He exchanges our weakness for his strength. And that's why the Word of God says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I know many of you are praying for a loved one. Hold on. Hold on. Many of you are praying for a family. Hold on. Maybe you're praying for a partner. Hold on. God will come with his power and his grace and to supply the need. And it is only whenever we've gotten to an end of ourselves that God is enabled to work. Let's pray together. God in heaven, we pray that your blessing will be upon us here this morning. That, Father, as we meditate upon your word, as we let it sink in, as we contemplate your challenge to us, Our God, we pray that we will rise to the challenge, get to know the Word of God and get to know the God of the Word, to live in such proximity where we're close, where we hear your voice, that we know your mind and know your will. And there, Father, as we pray, we will see God's will here done on earth. Bless, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.